The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Finally, Friday is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIPs from around the world. If you'd like to support Major Spoilers and everything that we do, point your browser to members.majorspoilers.com. Hello, everyone. It is Friday. Finally Friday, and we've got a lot of great things coming your way today. I am Steven Schleicher from majorspoilers.com. And joining me this week, again, so happy to have her, Ashley Victoria Robinson. Ashley, how are you?
I'm really great. How are you?
Well, you know what? I'm kind of sad, but also excited for two reasons. First, the sad reason. I was up at the university today and happened to walk by. Oh, where's the picture at? Oh, I don't have it. Where did it go? I happened to walk by the department. Well, the former grounds of the department. And there was nothing but a big empty lot. And I was kind of sad because that was a building that that I got to know a lot when I was growing up as a student, and then again as the chair of the department. So I was a little saddened to see that that building was no longer on campus. I knew it was happening, but that's some of the things that happen when you are building a new building. There's the building. There's the empty lot right now. It's just a big old patch of dirt.
Aww.
So I'm a little sad about that. But we've got some Supergirl news that we'll talk about in just a moment. Ooh. I want to know how you are doing.
I'm good. I'm super tired.
Super tired.
We're coming in on all final scripts for the Red Shirt Diaries. So for Jason and I, it's a big push to make sure we get all of that done. And we have a read through this weekend. So that's exciting and stressful.
That'll be very fun, right?
Yeah.
Now, you guys don't take your script and register it with Writers Guild or anything like that, do you?
No. We technically... You know, we're in this funny copyright area as parody and satire, so
right.
Didn't seem like, because, I mean, you can, it's costly to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it didn't seem like something that we would necessarily benefit from. I've copywritten stuff with them before, though.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that's interesting that you mention parody and all that, because this week on Zach on Film, we're talking all about fan films. And
I know.
Jason popped in. Were you involved in that? I haven't had a chance to listen to the episode yet. Were you involved with that interview that Jason did to talk about Red Shirt Diaries?
I was not.
Oh, okay.
I was left out of the loop.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But you do walk a fine line. I mean, this kind of all sprung out of the Power Rangers issue from last week, where I forget what his last name is, released it. And then Saban Entertainment had a problem with it. They took it down. They brought it back. And it really started a discussion of what can you do with fan films? Should they be allowed? How far you can go? And what are some of your thoughts about walking this fine line of fan films and parodies and lawyers?
Well, I know that legally, if you fall under parody and satire, you have to comment on the original material. You have to offer some sort of, whether it's directly or indirect, some sort of critical thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're, you know, which is the idea that you're expanding the IP while not necessarily like defaming it in any sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Power Rangers thing in particular is tough because it's obviously a very serious take on it. But when your material is sort of campy to begin with, it's sort of difficult to figure out where the parody and satire line is.
Yeah, and then see, that's the thing, that, and that's kind of my argument, is that when we talk about this participatory culture and we talk about closing that loop of even the fan film itself can be considered as a commentary and feedback, whether you're painting it in a positive light or a negative light. So almost just the creation of the Red Shirt Diaries in itself is providing feedback to the whole Star Trek experience. So even though yours is more of a more humorous take.
We don't make any money off Red Shirt Diaries. True. And I'm pretty sure whoever is hosting that Power Rangers video is making money. And that's another sort of tetchy legal area that you get into.
And that's exactly the thing that we talked about in Zach on Film, too, is, you know, you say you're not making any money of it. But if you're using this as a calling card to get a job, your next job. Aren't you making money? Aren't you, by putting it up on YouTube, getting advertising dollars from that? Aren't you, by getting word of mouth, generating income for sites that are posting it? So, you're right. It does get into that weird area of when does it become a moneymaker? Or when are you making money?
When it gets on the studio's radar and they care enough to take you down.
Yeah, well, at least in this case, Saban, they had a discussion and they put it back up and they had to make sure that there was just that big warning up on the front that says, this is not related to the current movie that's going on. Then they were okay with it. So I think for the most part, studios seem to have a positive impact when people produce fan films, at least before current DC president stepped in, Nelson, before she stepped in. DC was okay with people doing fan films, providing that they weren't putting the property in a bad light, and also providing that they weren't making money off of it. DC doesn't care. Dark Horse doesn't care. A lot of the comic book publishers that I've talked to don't seem to care if someone decides to make a fan film, because in their mind, it's free publicity and it promotes the property to an extent.
Exactly. It's just free advertising, and it's opening your fan base to people who might not have found it otherwise. So
exactly. And there were a lot of fan films that popped up this week that I thought were real interesting. There was a new Grayson fan film that popped up that focused on Jason Todd, which I thought was really interesting. But, you know, there's a lot of production value that goes into these pieces. Even Red Shirt Diaries, you guys are putting a lot of production work into it, especially here with season two, where you actually went on to an actual recreation of the original series set.
We did.
And then aren't you shooting out in the desert too? Or was that for something else?
No, we went and took some promo photos out there, and we are planning to shoot an episode, the arena episode, out on Vasquez Rocks. Cause it's only about half an hour north of us. And then we actually have built a different set for this season. It's 3 Hollywood Flats and we're shooting in a studio. So
excellent. So you were able to find some studio space. I know Jason a couple of weeks ago had sent out
some options, but the person who was supposed to give us our original space, who promised us a space, dropped the ball. So now it's down to Jason and I to scramble and find that.
Not enough room in your apartment for that this time around.
Well, the ceiling in our apartment is not 8 feet high and the flat is, and we would really like to not shave a couple inches off of it. We worked really hard on it. We built it with our bare hands again. So
now, did you guys go the muslin route, or does it actually have muslin over a stretch frame?
It is wood. It's luan. It's particle board, however you want to think of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I cannot wait to see this. So you've got a lot of shooting still to do. You've got, like you said, you just finished the scripts and you're doing a read through this weekend.
And then we've got to bring our voice actors in the next couple of weeks to get all that squared away.
Yeah, that should be really interesting. And then I'm sure all those people will get an IMDb update.
Everyone.
as well as SAG credit, right? Weren't you talking about that?
If they want SAG credit, they can have it.
We need 3 of them in order to apply for a SAG card.
You really only need one. You just have to pay more dues to get in.
I see.
But with 3, it's the standard, you know, $3,500, which we all just have in our pockets lying around, fee to join SAG-AFTRA, yeah.
Well, I know a couple of years ago, Scott Johnson was doing some voiceover work, and I know he was contemplating joining Screen Actors Guild, but I don't know if he ever went through with that, and I don't
know
if
it's health insurance, man.
Yeah, definitely. And so, you know, I know for some of those people doing voice actor work, having that SAG credit would be kind of neat. So I think it'll be cool whenever you guys are finished with this. When are you looking at a first episode release date?
As soon as we have 11 in the can already finished.
That's kind of a good rule of thumb to work with, right? I mean, sadly, I was trying to work ahead on a lot of the videos that I was doing up on our YouTube channel, but I have just fallen behind by a week or two when I got sick about a month ago. And now it's like I'm just barely ahead of where I should be and actually falling behind on some of the stuff. But, you know, producing weekly videos can be rather difficult when you're doing so many other things.
Oh, totally. We're also bringing on 2 other editors in addition to Jason doing some editing work. So that should hopefully speed the process along, but I would say July at the absolute earliest.
Okay.
We haven't shot anything yet, so.
So are, what are you shooting on this go around? Do you know what kind of equipment you're looking? Are you going big old red cameras and surround sound and hiring Steven Schleicher to do all your special effects? And?
I think we're shooting on a G4.
Oh, that's a good camera. I like it.
Do I know what that means? No.
I know what it means. So that's a good thing. Yeah. It's the same one. It's the same one that Jason uses and you use for your videos. When Jason was reading comics for us.
Yeah, but he's putting a different lens on it.
Oh, cool.
Which I understand makes it look the way it looks.
Excellent. But
this is the reason why you have to have a team of people, because not one person can know everything, and I certainly don't.
Yeah. Well, but the good thing is you're getting some of that extra experience, right, by doing that? Yeah. And that's always positive. One of the things that you're going to focus on, or that I'm pleased that you focused on, at least in the first season, was costuming.
Oh my God, we just bought a bunch of costumes because we have a real budget this time.
Good.
So we're not going to have any of the JJ uniforms. Like, we used those in the first seasons because we already had them.
Right.
But everybody has a standard Star Trek The Original Series uniform. We have a couple for some of our guests coming in. One of our guest stars has an Anovos uniform, so she's going to be the best looking one on set.
Excellent. Excellent.
So we think we upped our game this time around.
Well, speaking of costumes, just released about 20 minutes ago is our first look of Melissa Benoist in her Supergirl costume for the CBS series coming this fall.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it yet, but I think it looks fantastic.
You're happy that it's not the new 52 costume?
I'm glad. So here's what I like about it. Okay, first of all, it's designed by the same costume designer who did The Flash and Arrow. So,
and those are awesome.
Yes, and they are. And we've been talking a lot on the Major Spoilers podcast and elsewhere about screen-ready costumes. And this looks screen-ready. This has a little bit of a Man of Steel mixed in with it, with that Flash and Arrow look that we come to expect. I like that it's simple. I like that they're not trying to sexy it up, you know, by...
I like that a lot.
I mean, I'm glad... I mean, this does not look like a bathing suit with a cape and a skirt wrapped around. The skirt looks like it's part of the costume. The cape looks like it belongs. And from what I can tell from this image, she doesn't have any bare legs showing. It's like a legging that runs all the way down as part of the, you know, the Kryptonian armor, if that's what this indeed is. And I just think it looks right for some reason.
I also think it looks enough like the Man of Steel costume, like you mentioned before, that if they ever got around to a crossover, it wouldn't look out of place next to Henry Cavill in his suit.
No, I don't think so. And it doesn't. I mean, of course, we're looking at some lighting that's very specific.
It's very dark, the lighting.
You know, they did that with the Wonder Woman costume for the very first time with Adriana Pilecki. And then, like, 2 days later, they released one that was really bright and brilliant. I don't, you know, the same way with the Aquaman reveal a few days ago or a few weeks ago, I don't really mind that things are dark. It still adds a little bit of mystery so that you're wanting to see what this looks like on the screen.
I don't mind that either. And the Flash's costume, when we saw the first pictures, looked really dark, but it's much, much brighter on screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely. So I like that a lot. I just think that looks wonderful.
Are you surprised that she's not blonde or she's not bright blonde, at least in this photo?
Yeah, in the photo, that was one of the things that was kind of a lot of people were questioning, because I believe she has naturally dark hair.
She does.
And the question was she going to go blonde? And I was like, well, you know, in the old Silver Age version of Supergirl, when she wasn't Supergirl, she wore a wig.
That's true.
That was dark. And then when she was Supergirl, she'd take off the wig and she'd have her blonde hair underneath. This is kind of like a really, really, really light. I don't know what the color you would say.
It's almost strawberry blonde, but not quite.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, too. I really am. And I think once you see it on television, especially when they start doing rim lights and backlights and everything starts blooming and glowing on television, I think it's going to look just right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, Barry Allen's got black hair, so we can get over it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, everybody doesn't have to be blonde hair, blue eyes, right?
Certainly not anymore when we're all screaming about diversity.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's I think that's wonderful that we get to see this. And it seems like every Friday now we're getting a big Supergirl reveal. I mean, what are your thoughts? Because we didn't talk last time about Dean Cain and Helen Slater on Supergirl.
Well, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I never saw either of the things that they're from.
Probably with the Helen Slater Supergirl was not that great to begin with. I mean, it was a Supergirl movie, but it has all the trappings of a TriStar picture from 1982 or whatever year that came out. So it's kind of weak in places. In fact, it's weak in a lot of places.
I think it would be really cool if they wound up being Jor-El and Lara, but if they do that, then obviously that leaves no room for a cinematic crossover. Not that that's ever going to happen, but mm-hmm. I think it's really cool. I like the way that the TV show is paying reverence to the original screen material. I think that's really, really neat. I don't know how excited I am about Dean Cain, but he still looks really good. So.
He does. Instead of Jor-El and Lor-El, I was thinking more of Supergirl's parents.
Yeah.
And that would be more right in line than for what the story that they're telling. And of course, they can bring those two characters back in a lot of flashbacks. Of course, we know that they're still putting together a Krypton series, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been asked this many times and I haven't asked you this. What are your thoughts about this whole DC Comics is ruling television while Marvel is ruling the big screen?
Well, I'm going to put my bias out there right away. I'm definitely a DC girl. I read both. I love both, but
yeah.
Batman and Robin are everything. I think it's great. I love a lot of what DC is putting out there, and I think it's legitimizing a lot of what you can do on television outside of a cable channel, outside of something mm-hmm. like HBO, mm-hmm. Stars, even Netflix. It's super exciting. It's all great. Marvel's starting to get their stuff together. Like Agent Carter, I think, was a yes. really, really great series.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, is getting there.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, I really liked Man of Steel. I don't have a problem with the Man of Steel movie. So like, I'm looking forward to Marvel growing their TV universe and DC mm-hmm. growing their movie universe. Also, I'm a little bit burnt out on Marvel cinematically, so I'm looking yeah. forward to other like comic book properties coming into the film.
What did you had a chance to look at the Avengers trailer, the new Avengers trailer that came out this week?
Yeah, I think it should have been the first one because it's way more exciting than the first trailer.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I'm disappointed that you don't know anything about the movie still. Like if you haven't read the comics,
mm-hmm.
you don't really know what's going to be happening. It's just like, oh, action shot, action shot, action shot.
Right. Right. And there are some really nice action shots. I mean, I don't know. Why do you think they keep hiding the Vision so much? I mean, it was right at the end of the trailer and we get to see a 2-second eye pop open. And then it was back to action shot, action shot, action shot.
Because I don't think that the main, you know, like I don't want to say layman. I think that's disrespectful. But I think that the non-nerd crowd, I don't think they know who the Vision is. So I don't think it would have as much impact.
Yeah.
And because James Spader as Ultron is a bigger deal than Paul Bettany as Vision, sort of in the scope of looking at everyone who's going to come see this movie.
True, 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 true. But I think it's going to be, I think the Vision character is going to play a bigger, more important role than what they're leading to in the trailer. I mean, even Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch have a bigger role in the trailer than the Vision does.
Yeah, but I'm real excited for the Vision. So,
yeah, yeah. Well, because of
I really love.
Yeah, because of the Spider-Man deal between Marvel Studios and Sony, people yeah. jumped very quickly and inserted Spider-Man throughout that trailer. And here's one of the shots here that I like. It's that one shot where they're all jumping through the frame at once, and someone just popped in Spider-Man in between Iron Man and Thor
there
in the background.
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool little gif. It would be, you know, I don't think they're going to go that far to incorporate Spider-Man into Age of Ultron. But do you think we're going to see Spider-Man in any kind of appearance or reference to Spider-Man in Age of Ultron?
I think it would be a mistake if they didn't, because it got so much hype and so much press coverage.
Yeah.
Even if they have to go reshoot. I mean, they reshot the shawarma scene at the end of Avengers, the first one, like 2 months from the theatrical release. They can do it. No
yeah.
problem. Jurassic World's doing pickups. I think it would be a mistake if we didn't get even a name drop of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the earliest we'll actually see him is probably Civil War.
Yeah, probably. I think it needs to be a little bit earlier. I don't know. Listeners, what do you think? 727-1939. That's the number that you want to call if you want to hear your voice heard. And really, finally, Friday is a show all about you, the viewers and the listeners. And we'd love for you to participate, whether it's in the comment section over at YouTube or whether it's on Twitter, or what we'd really prefer you to do, both Ashley and I, is to call in and talk with us. 785-727-1939. That's the line. Or if you look for Steven underscore Schleicher on Skype, S-C-H-L-E-I-C-H-E-R, you can call in and have your voice heard. Harrison Ford had a little accident.
Oh, yeah, yesterday.
Yeah. What do you know about that?
That he was flying a plane and crashed it into a golf course.
That's really, I mean,
the really like surface level details of it. But when I first heard it, I was like, oh, my God, if he dies, like if this is a big deal, this is going to be a terrible year for nerd celebrity deaths.
Oh, I know. I mean, just last week it was Leonard Nimoy who passed away, and I saw that too. I was just about to go pick up my son and take him to soccer practice when I saw it blip across my feed saying Harrison Ford in the first one, it said he was in critical condition. And I was like, holy crap, that's not good, especially for somebody who's in his 70s to be in a crash like that. And then I read some more and I saw, oh, it was in this single prop World War II plane, and that he crash landed it because of some engine troubles, and he landed on the golf course. Everybody said he just had a gashed up face. And then, of course, later in the evening, his son got online and was like, hey, dad's okay. He's just battered and bruised, but they're expecting a full recovery. And then all the news sites started filtering in saying that he's in stable condition and is expected to make a full recovery. So that's good.
He's getting injured a lot these past years.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, he was just on the set of Star Wars a year ago and the Millennium Falcon door dropped on his leg and gave him a broken ankle or a broken leg that he was hobbling around on. He didn't let that bother him too much. And now he crashes a plane. It's not his first.
Good health coverage.
I would imagine so. He's Harrison Ford. Come on. He is someone who is not afraid of stunts. He's not afraid of danger. His son, I believe Ben, his son is the one that's into extreme sports. And he spent a long time just going around with his son and helping him video their extreme sports stunts. I think they made a little movie a couple of years ago together on that. So, yeah, he's not someone. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that he would be in an accident like this, but as someone who is a fan of Harrison Ford and his work, obviously we hope that that he's okay and will continue on without a problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but the other thing too, and this is the thing that's kind of sad, is that I think everyone realizes this, but I know it's hard to accept that everyone's going to die, right? So eventually, everyone we know and love is going to die, some sooner than others. But it is that kind of fact of life until, you know, we find that magic pill that stops aging and lets us live forever. But it's rough. I mean, it is really rough when that happens.
It is, especially when it's somebody that not only you have a huge reaction to, but everybody else does.
Yeah.
Because it's validating on one hand, but then it sort of exacerbates the situation on the other hand.
Yeah. I had a really negative reaction when Steve Jobs died. And I didn't even know about it. I mean, we were getting ready to record an episode of Critical Hit, and I think Rodrigo came in and he was like, oh, yeah, Steve Jobs died. And I was like, what? I mean, this is literally minutes before we're recording. And then my wife is like, oh, yeah, I thought you heard. And I was like, no. And I was just, for that whole evening, I was devastated while we were recording. But I think after that, it was just this thing of, well, you know what? It's good to feel sad, and it's good to feel empathy, and it's also great to celebrate the life of somebody, but to worry that someone is going to die is kind of a silly worry, because we're all going to die at some point.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, it's that ultimate fear of the unknown, so I think it's nicer to assume that we're all going to go hang out somewhere.
Yeah. So 785-727-1939, anything that you want to talk about today, the lines are open. It's all fair game. whatever you want to do goes. I do want to thank Alpha Geek Radio for everything that they're doing, and Alpha Geek Media for streaming our video on the Alpha Geek channels. Be sure to visit TuneIn or alphageekradio.com. And if you're traveling around on your mobile device, you can find us on Alpha Geek Radio as well. We're sending the stream out there in audio form so that you can drive around in your car, send that signal out to your radio, or if you're sitting in the back seat, pop in your earplugs. And I would recommend, Ashley, I don't know if you have a pair of these or not. Hold on there, listener. I didn't do this right. Let's get back to Ashley. Sorry. Are you there, Ashley? Uh-oh. Did I lose Ashley? There we go. Is Ashley there now?
Oh, I was just going to text you.
Okay, sorry. What happens is when I set this... when I set up Skype when we're recording with Matthew, when he has bad audio, I want him to be able to dial back in without it, without us ringing or without it interrupting the flow of the show that we're doing. So I always just set it to auto answer, and then I forget to set it back on Finally Friday. So what happens is we get somebody who wants to call in and can't because it instantly hangs up on you. But let's call Steven back, see if he'll pick up. Hi, Steven. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. How are you?
Hi.
Sorry about that. Sorry, but stupid technology.
It's kind of weird to talk to you guys. You know, just big fan. You know, but
oh, thank you.
Just wondering. Yeah, it's fine. Kind of as an aspiring kind of filmmaker. Yeah. 17. Kind of listen to that kind of film. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could you recommend any books or other podcasts? Just kind of further kind of film studies and just kind of get into that whole thing.
I don't know any that focus on film studies, but Slash Film, that podcast is really good. Screen Junkies is really good. Okay.
Jason also works for Screen Junkies.
Yes, I know. That's why I put it in there as a not so subtle plug. You know, there are a lot of books depending on what you want to go into. There's books on acting. There's some great books on editing. I mean, if you're wanting to really learn about the theory of editing, Walter Murch has a book called In the Blink of an Eye, which is, it's only about 100 pages, but it's like the quintessential theory of how you edit and why we edit and the interpretation of editing. So there's that. And then there are, you know, scads of books on shooting and compositing and pre-planning, all that stuff. So I would also probably recommend a book called Sight, Sound, and Motion. It talks about media aesthetics. That's a start, at least. Ashley, do you have any suggestions?
I don't make films. I just have the idea and I figure out how to convince my friends to do it for me.
There you go.
That's the best piece of advice I would give you. It's really great to do the academic side, but it's also good to
actually get the thing done.
Figure it out as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. That's actually really good. Thanks, yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Okay, yeah. Not really, you know, just been a big fan listening to your podcast since I was like 14.
Okay, excellent. Well, thanks for listening and thanks for continuing to listen. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks.
Your accent rocks.
Thank you.
It's nice here today. It's 61 degrees. I don't know what it's like there in California.
It's very hot today.
Do you?
I was in a Lyft earlier, and they didn't have the air conditioning on, and it was pretty intense.
Oh yeah, I'm teaching a class at the university. That's why I was walking by the old building, and for some reason they turned the heat on, even though they were supposed to have turned the steam off like 2 days ago. And I'm standing in there lecturing, and it's like, man, I'm getting hot up here. And I know it's not because I'm, you know, overweight. It's just because it's freaking hot in this building. So.
It's 27 degrees Celsius here today, which is somewhere in the 80s, I think.
I am going to need to start finding an application or plug-in for Wirecast where I can do an auto conversion between Celsius and Fahrenheit, because between you and Russ Cat from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, it's just like, well, how cold is it? Minus something divide by this, and that's how you calculate it up, so...
Yeah, it's not an easy conversion. It's like minus 30 times 5 or something.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Boohoo says someone in the chat, it's 27 degrees outside with over a foot of snow outside. Yeah, I heard that like in Boston, again, on the East Coast, so much snow up and down the East Coast that Diamond had to suspend shipping earlier this week because of all the snow. And
yeah,
I don't
Diamond
know if
likes
that's
to find reasons to suspend shipping.
Yeah, I don't know if that will. I don't know if that will affect comic releases next week or how that's going to work. But yeah, the weather on the East Coast just sucks this year.
Well, between that and the delays in the harbor, no one's going to have comics for the next month or so.
That's well. Hopefully, they've got most of that rerouted to go through Canada or Portland or Mexico. So James Thatcher was on the show last week, 2 weeks ago.
That was
ago.
An awesome interview.
Yeah, that was really cool. And he kind of broke it down and I found it very fascinating. Today, before I taught class, I sat down with Scott Robson, who taught the Star Wars class with me last year. And we did an interview for next week's show where we talk about communication theory and how communication breaks down and what causes communication to break down, both verbal and nonverbal cues, as well as, you know, mental blocks and mental fallacies that we have that prevent us from fully understanding, especially in an age of social media where we're being inundated by messages all over the place, asynchronous communication, those kinds of things. And so I hope people will enjoy that interview next week. It kind of goes into the academic side a lot, but I think, you know, understanding some of those theories and concepts help us understand ourselves better when we're trying to communicate, especially whether it be communicating in a chat room, which is asynchronous, whether you're talking you and I on Skype or whether people are watching this video feed and you're seeing this video feed, you know, a minute and a half after I've said the word. So even then there's a break in communication. So it's very fascinating. We'll talk about that next week on the Major Spoilers Podcast.
Cool.
I really enjoyed Geek History Lesson this past week. The top five
Fox stories.
Yeah,
I had
Spock
a good
stories.
Cry after that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I got a lot more emotional about it than I expected to. And when I learned that Leonard Nimoy passed away, I was trying to register for Comic-Con.
Oh yeah,
for
yeah.
A pro badge, which is like incredibly stressful. And Jason texted me, and I was like, okay. And then I cried for the next hour.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Were you really emotional?
That's fine. That's good too. Were you able to get your registration in for Comic-Con?
Yes, and I got a guest. It was outstanding.
Excellent. Good. Good.
So
good. Good.
If you really want a Lego, I'll try to get one for you.
Oh yeah, that's one of the things I'm probably not going to do this year. In fact, I'm debating whether to go to Planet Comic-Con up in Kansas City next week.
I heard that on Dueling Review, another Major Spoilers podcast.
See, you know how to do it. Good job. Yes. I actually talked to my oldest son, Mason, about it this morning. And I said, well, you have two options. Next weekend is either this Pokemon tournament that's set up for beginners that you can go to, or you can go to the Planet Comic-Con convention in Kansas City. We'd have to get up really early. We have to drive. We have to go there. We'll leave in the afternoon and we'll get back really late. But I said, if you really want to go, we could go there. And he's like, I kind of want to go to a comic convention. I've never been to a comic convention. I said, hey,
yes.
Wait a minute. I said, wait a minute, little boy. When you were two and when actually before, I think he was like 6 months old, we were taking him to comic book conventions up until his brother was born. And then the four of us went up to the Planet Comic-Con. And I got busy talking to somebody, I forget who, maybe it was B. Clay Moore, I think, and Mason and my wife and the newborn wandered off and I couldn't find them for an hour. And I finally run into them. And this is when Planet Comic-Con was at a much smaller venue. Finally run into them. And my wife is just like, they want to buy everything. We have to go now. And that was about the last time we went to a convention together as a family. But,
yeah,
I don't know.
That's how I imagine it being with tiny children.
Yeah. And I mean, my wife and I really spoil our kids a lot. So, you know, if Mason's like, oh, I want that toy or I want that, then, you know, we tend to give in to an extent. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, he was like, oh, yeah, I could dress up and do all this stuff. And I was like,
oh, my
well,
God,
okay.
Who's he going to dress up as?
Probably either Spider-Man or Captain America is my guess, because he already has some costumes of that he mm-hmm. likes to run around in. Although I think he's a little bit more partial to Venom, and his Spider-Man costume turns inside out, so he can either be Spider-Man or Venom. So he might do that if we go, and he may not. I don't know. He's starting to get that age of an 8-year-old where he becomes a little bit more self-conscious about everything around him. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll see. And we really haven't made a final decision yet on whether we're going to go. But that is coming up, and I am looking forward to it if we do go. Hi, caller. Who's this?
Hey guys, it's Nato. How are you guys doing?
Hi Nate, how are you this week?
I'm sorry?
How are you this week?
Oh, I'm good. A little sore, but okay.
Yeah, hey, congratulations. What place did you get at your tournament last week? Was it first place?
No, I got second place. There's three kind of competitions that you do. Mm-hmm. So we do our belt form, sparring, and then combat sparring. So right. I got second place in sparring.
Congratulations.
Excellent. Good job.
Yeah.
And what about your kids? Yeah. What did they place?
My daughter got second place in sparring and first place in combat weapons.
Wow.
She's pretty vicious when it comes to that.
Girls she doesn't back down.
Yeah. I mean, side note, the like teenage girls mm-hmm. that do that competition, I wouldn't want to fight them. They're like out for blood. And I'm all joking aside. I mean, they are really good, quick, vicious. They're like out for points. So.
Excellent.
And then my son, he got, his division was, he had so many people in his division. I think he had like 15 kids. So he actually got like a fourth place in sparring.
Oh, that's cool. But he still got a trophy, didn't he? Didn't I see he had a trophy?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's excellent.
We all got some bling.
Excellent. So what's on your mind this week?
Actually, when I heard that, Ashley was going to be on, I wanted to thank her. I got my Indiegogo stuff from the Red Shirt Diaries 2 campaign.
Yay!
So, I got one of the original art pieces from the webcomic.
Oh, excellent.
What did you get?
I can't remember again. I think I want to say 6 or something. It's the one with McCoy because he's my favorite. He's my favorite. So that's the one I wanted. So. But thanks, everything was cool. I was like, now I got to get a nice frame for it.
They're like 11 by 17. I don't remember how big they are.
It was bigger than I thought. And again, I guess I'd never really seen an actual original sketch pad or whatever for a comic. So
yeah.
it kind of threw me for a second. Cause I know they bring it, they render it down, but it's like a painting.
If it's a full size comic book page, the 11 by 17, you can find a frame for it without having to have somebody make one for you. I have a bunch of original art from Batman, the animated series, including Robin, and Commissioner Robin? Gordon and, Tim Drake.
Yes.
But I have a lot of that original art and I just went to Walmart and I was able to find a frame that it fits perfectly in. I haven't hung them up on the wall yet. They used to be at my office, which is now torn down. But you can go find frames pretty easily.
Yeah. But I wanted to let you know too, I'm loving Modern City.
Thank you.
It's funny when you get everyone in there and like, I think some few people tweeted out and stuff, just the diversity of everything that got thrown in there and what mm-hmm. comes out of it is just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that was, I'm really, really looking forward to when you guys really start getting deep into it. And I actually went on to the member site and mm-hmm. looked at some of the pre-art, finally.
Yeah. And the final art was up there too. Yeah.
Yep. I saw it all, but it was pretty cool. So, and the only other thing is the Supergirl outfit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Came out.
Yes. Wow, it's up on the site. Awesome. We just talked about it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is too.
I think it's very, I don't know if classy is the right word for it, but it's very stylish. I should say.
It's mm-hmm. nice that she's covered.
Yeah.
And I actually appreciate it. I looked at that. I'm like, wow. And because at first, of course, I was looking at my phone. I'm like, wait, does she have leggings on? I'm like, she does. I'm like, that is awesome. I think that's really, really neat. It's like the only thing that's really exposed is her head and hands.
As they should be. All she needs is the ponytail and she'll be fine.
Right. But the bigger question is there going to be an S on the back of the cape?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
That's, to me, that was the one thing that I've kind of not liked with a lot of the movie renderings of the last Superman is there's no S on the back of the cape.
Well, I don't mind it. I mean, I think it's, you know, when you think about battles, you know, ancient battles, they would wear their coat of arms basically all over them, right? Not only on their shields, but their helmets, right. Their tunics, the tunic would be on both sides. So, you know, if you're going from a battle armor kind of costume, it would make sense that you might have some kind of marking on the back to separate you from the rest of the people in battle. But I'm kind of okay if it's not on there.
It depends on if the origin is that it is Kryptonian armor or if it's strictly a costume.
Yeah, if she made it to honor her cousin, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, something to think about, Nate. Is it going to ruin it for you, though, if it doesn't have an S on the back?
No, I'm actually excited about it. Because I really haven't seen the actors yet. I work it. That's like 8 weeks, just been insane for me for work. But yeah, when I saw that, I was like, wow, that looks really good. So no, I'm excited about it. It's like one of those little pet peeves things, you know, it's like one of those things where you read the book and then you watch the movie, hoping that one scene that just was like the most awesomest thing in the book you thought, and you cut it out.
So yeah.
Does it take it away from me? Was it not a good movie? No, it was an excellent movie, but you know, there we go. So,
all right, cool. Well, thanks Nate for calling in.
No problem. You guys have a good one, and thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care, man.
Bye.
Bye. I also got my Red Shirt Diaries art poster a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, you got one of the posters of me, which scares me a lot.
I've got so much stuff to hang up. It's been bad. I mean, I thought that when I quit my job, I would have a lot more free time. But what turns out is I'm devoting more time to Major Spoilers and all the other content. And I was doing a just kind of an informal statistics the other day on what has changed from 1 year to the next. And except for December, the end of November, 1st of December, when the site was down, we've had a minimum of a 20% increase in all of our output in 2004 or since May of 2014.
Nice.
And in some cases, it's 75 and 80% higher as far as the output that we do from the year before. So thank you, Ashley, for all of your hard work.
Oh, you're welcome.
But I think that kind of shows what we can do when we have that time and the resources to do the things that we want to do for all of you, our viewers, our listeners, our VIPs. And, you know, thank you, VIPs like Nate, for putting it all together and making it happen for us. Without you, we wouldn't be doing the things we do. And I did want to tease very quickly the Major Spoilers VIP site, because Nate did say that he went over there and saw some of the extras. For those of you who like Zach on Film, of course, we had the evolution of Zach on Film 2.0 to what it's become now. Matthew and I have been doing the flashback podcast for our VIP members. You also saw the evolution of the brand new Modern City Tales art that is going on with Critical Hit. And there's a couple of other pieces up there that I put up over the last week or so, that one of them you'll hear tonight in the show. The other one you'll see, I think, next week. Not this week, but next week on Critical Hit. So, VIP membership really helps us out. I appreciate what you do. It allows us to get a little money over to our writers and our editors like Ashley. And if we can get more VIPs, we will be able to do more. A couple of people have tweeted to me already because they like Modern City so much. Hey, can you make that your other podcast? Can you make another podcast just for Modern City? And it's like, well, we are at the maximum number of shows that we can do right now. Yeah. But when we get enough VIPs, we do have another RPG podcast, which I'm hoping will be Modern City. But we also have an audio drama podcast that we will produce as well. So,
God, I want that to happen so bad.
Yeah. And again, for people that have been over to the VIP site, there is a page where I think the title of the post is, this is not what you think it will be. And I gave a little teaser image, but that will come when we hit 6,000. It's something I've been working on for a while. And you know what, Ashley? There may indeed be a part in it for you.
Oh, I'm crossing my fingers.
Because the lead is a female, so.
Well.
I think you could probably handle it. Fabian is on the line. Fabian, how are you on this Friday? Or is it Saturday already?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
Hi, Ashley. Nice to be on the phone with you as well.
On the internet phone.
Yes.
What is on your mind this week, Fabian?
Yeah. I'm doing my part as a Major Spoilers VIP member.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot for everything you do again and again and again. And I'm just, as I said, making it a habit of calling in every second week or so. So
I don't mind. I don't mind at all.
And it's always great. There are some things I'd like to comment on, like you seem to really take it hard that the building is gone of your university.
I don't know. It's been torn down since they tore it down in September. And today was the first day that, I mean, I've driven past the spot before, but today was the first day where I actually had to walk by it. And it's like, oh, there literally is no indication that that building ever existed.
It's a hard feeling. And I'd really like to share a story of mine. The first time I went away from home to another city, to Lüneburg, where I live now, mm-hmm. I joined a shared apartment with mm-hmm. with some people. There were 9 people living in a big, big apartment. And the building actually was over kind of a sinkhole because was a salt city, and they pumped water through the ground to mm-hmm. get the salt out, and it was really dangerous. And
yeah.
I lived there for good 3 years, I think, with mm-hmm. some nice people. And every time I go through the park and see the big place where actually 1 or 2 buildings stood, it's a bad feeling. And I think, look, there was my room.
Yeah. No, I understand that. It's just, I don't know. It didn't weird me out as much as I thought it would, but it was one of those moments where it's like, hey, there used to be a building that stood here, and hundreds of hours of television and radio programming, probably not even hundreds, thousands of hours over the last 50 years were produced in this little building with a studio, Ashley, you'll appreciate it, no bigger than 20 feet by 25 feet.
Oh, it's like the Retro Diary studio.
Yeah. So, a little remorse. I hope someday people will look back and say, oh, yes, I remember that there was a building there. But new building is so much bigger, so much better. I think people are just looking forward, not looking back.
And I wanted to say I'm really bad at putting up pictures as well. I have a print of the name of the Winds Kickstarter card mm-hmm. game.
Nice.
I was part of, and it's a really nice print, but I want to get a really nice frame for it, and
yes.
it has a weird format, and I guess I have to get something commissioned. I don't know.
Yeah, go to a framing shop and they'll take care of it.
Yeah,
yeah. I've Zach got me a Mondo poster, one of those Mondo prints.
Oh. Which
for Christmas. It was one of the Dark Knight Returns ones.
That's awesome.
And I have yet to frame it yet. So I've yet to frame it or hang it up. So it's one of those things that are on my to-do list. Although I will say, I'll just kind of pan over really quick. For those of you who are Modern City fans, I did go and get something printed out this past couple of weeks ago. And now it's hanging up in the office. So.
Oh, I just even your projects get framed right away.
Well, it's not really framed as much as it was headed down to the store and had it printed out, and just to kind of surprise everybody and kind of show them that this was something that people would be excited about. And I think they were excited. So, yeah, more stuff on the way. So, Fabian, anything else?
Great stuff. The last thing I wanted to say thank you that you included me on the new Major Spoilers opening.
Oh, sure. No problem. We're going to rotate a bunch of people out. We're so glad that more people are starting to send stuff in. So,
Sure, that's really great. I'm proud to be in it and to be a VIP. And I guess I can't see the video right now because I'm using my phone to watch and call on Skype as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess you put the VIP, Major Spoilers VIP member banner in, on top of me right now as well.
Yep, it was up there, and
as
I was also there
for Nate.
As for Nate, yep. Definitely, we love our VIPs.
Great stuff. So, really looking forward to the next minutes, you ending the show or doing some more.
Okay, excellent, man. Well, we hope that we can get there. Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
You too.
So somebody had said, oh, yeah, Adriana is not on Critical Hit anymore. But I did want to let me just throw this up really quick. Her new chapter for Minor Acts of Heroism kicks off next week. So
nice.
You will want to go and check that out. So I'm pretty excited for her about that. Good stuff over there. So go check it out. Minor Acts of Heroism. You can find it. You can look for it. MinorActsOfHeroism.com, I believe, is the address. So go and check that out and support her over there as she continues to blow us away. Speaking of blowing us away, do you get a lot of inside stuff now that Jason is big time superstar man?
Maybe.
Or does he make you sign non-disclosure agreements before you're allowed to walk into the apartment?
He tells me stuff, but yeah, I guess a lot of it's stuff that's like, oh, it's coming out in 2 days.
How's he dealing with all of this?
With great grace and skill.
he's got to be, I mean, I know he's probably working right now, but he's just got to be over the moon with everything that's happened, both with Screen Junkies and with DC.
Yeah, he's in a really good spot right now, and I'm super jealous of him, actually. Like, I'm really happy, and I think my bias about my feelings for Jason aside, I think he was the right choice, and I think, you know, I think he does a great job. But it's really cool to watch people get to do what they love and get money for it.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Cool.
Yes.
I'm jealous.
That's why I'm so excited about Richard Diaries. That's why I love Major Spoilers. You know, the other day I was just like, I went grocery shopping in the middle of the afternoon, which is, you know, something that people my age typically don't go shopping at either 11 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I went into our grocery store and there was just all these old people wandering around doing their grocery shopping, because apparently that's what you do when you're old. But, you know, this guy is walking past me and he's like, how's it going? And, you know, I had to just stop and think to myself that, you know what? Life right now is pretty darn awesome. I've got a job that I love. I've got friends that I love. I've got a great family. I've got great supporters around the world. Life is really good right now. So even though I may have a bad day or two, overall, I'm in a much better place than I was this time last year. So thank you, VIPs, and thank you, everybody who's involved with Major Spoilers.
And I think it's important to take those moments sometimes, because even when you work on something that you love, it's incredibly stressful.
Oh, it is. Believe me. I'm up till, you know, people, if you follow my Instagram or you follow the tweets, you'll see about 2 o'clock in the morning me sending out a tweet of a Lego building or a Lego build, because I'm up shooting that stuff because I love doing it, number one, but also I want to create stuff for our fans.
I see your tweets at like 12:30 a.m. our time, and I'm like, why is Steven still awake?
Well, sometimes I can't help it. Sometimes I can't help it. So where I can't sleep. So, oh, well, let's see. What else did we want to talk about? What do you have? Any acting gigs coming up that people can go see you at? Any theater work?
No. Richards is the main thing on the horizon. I've had a bunch of auditions, but none of them have really panned out, and that sucks for me.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, I'm trying to get a show together for the Fringe Festival that's coming up in Hollywood in the summer, but it's one of those things where I'm waiting for someone to get back to me. So that kind of sucks.
Well, the waiting is the hardest part, right? Isn't that the Tom Petty song? Or is that Tom Petty or Bob Dylan, The waiting is the hardest part. Now I got to look it up.
Well, if it's good singing, it's Tom Petty. If it's basically incomprehensible, then it's Bob Dylan with beautiful words.
Yeah, but let's see.
It is. It's funny because like all of, you know, all of acting and all of creative is just like shut up and wait.
Yeah.
I did.
Well, that's the way it is with a lot of things.
The horror
right?
trilogy last weekend, like that was cool. But I don't know.
Do you play games?
Like video games or like
video games or RPG games, tabletop games, any of that?
I'm a really terrible person at video games. Like I literally don't have the fine motor skills to not run into the walls constantly.
I'm that exact same way when it comes to video games. Do you play tabletop games? Do you like Dungeons and Dragons or that kind of stuff?
I played D&D for almost a year when I was in Canada before I moved to the States. And then I've never found anyone to play with here.
Oh, I find that hard to believe. I happen to know that Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes and I believe Patton Oswalt are all big D&D fans. So you ring them up.
I can just call them and be I'm like, sure yo, you can. Let me come over and play.
Let's get together. Let's do it. Are you part of NerdFit? Do you go to the NerdFit gym?
I don't. Okay. I don't like working out.
Oh, come on.
So no, but I'm doing I am doing the Nila Ray workouts, which are that website that has all the workouts based on superheroes.
Oh yeah. And that's kind of what my understanding is what the NerdFit gym is about, right? Doing that stuff that's pop culture themed.
Like 7 o'clock in the morning, and that's the middle of the night.
Oh yeah. I just asked because last night. A few weeks ago on the Want List video version, we had the unboxing of the Cthulhu Wars game that Dr. Brad Will funded on Kickstarter. And last night, I went over to his house and Rob and I sat down and we played the game a couple of times so we could get familiar with it before we go and record it for Munchkin Land. And he painted some of these figures and they're just amazing in how great they are. I mean, they're scary too because, you know, they're like Lovecraftian horrors. But the paint job he put on these is going to make you freak out when you see them. But we'll have that. We probably won't go shoot for another month, but that will is coming. I know, but I just want to show some of these pictures off because they're so awesome. And it's a huge game. And it's a lot of fun to play.
But it's the serious, scary approach to Lovecraft, not the
well. So I know a lot of people get mad when I say this, but you know how Risk is like conquering lands and building up your army and then decimating everyone else until you win. This game is kind of like that, but each of you controls one of eight elder gods. And so you've got like Cthulhu and the Yellow King and Nog-Sagoth and all these guys.
Oh my God, the and Yellow King for real? That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So, It's a different kind of game. It doesn't play quite like Risk. It's interesting, and I can't wait till we share that with people coming up on Munchkin Land. So there we go.
You guys should play Lord of the Rings Risk sometime.
Maybe. I don't know. There's so many games. We've got Legendary that we still need to play. We have one of our listeners sent us a game that we need to play. We've still got a bunch of Munchkin and Steve Jackson games to play. We've got so much stuff right now, and we're actually on a very aggressive recording schedule for all of our shows so that we can get ahead of everything. So we don't run into any issues. Should we come to a month when people aren't available for whatever reason, Christmas is a great example. And right now I think we are about 2 months ahead on Munchkin Land. Nice. We are a month and a half ahead on Critical Hit. Major Spoilers is one of those that we have to do week after week. And I think we're about a month ahead on Top Five. So, we're starting to build up a catalog of stuff to release over time, kind of like what you're doing with Red Shirt Diaries. Build them all up, save them, and then release them so that it comes out on a regular schedule.
Well, that was Jason's sort of caveat for agreeing to do it, was we had to do it that way. So
Yeah. We still have a little bit of time, a few more minutes left. My wife texted me and said that she's picking up the kids today, so that's good. 785-727-1939. We got a few more minutes left for you to get your calls in. And Or throw out a comment there in the chat. Yeah, people who are playing Warhammer.
What's the Munchkin Land issue that you didn't get the card from?
Issue 2. And I think...
Okay, I'm going to try to get it for you.
Okay, if you can get it, that's great. But if not, I think one of our fans, who's also the roommate of Rob and Brian, he was the one that got the lone issue of Munchkin that came in. So he said he would give it to us if we can't find it anywhere else.
Oh, OK.
But if you can find it, I would be very appreciative.
Yeah, I'll let you know tomorrow.
OK. All right. Cool. 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 Yeah. What is the big seller this week? Do you know? Have you been in this week?
Oh, Hawkeye number one. All new Hawkeye.
Oh, is that it? OK.
Yeah.
How was it?
It's a really good book.
The only thing I've read so far this week is Princess Leia.
Well, Princess Leia, I think, will sell more because it has 80,000 variant covers.
Yes, yes. But I did enjoy the book. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I mean, Mark Waid's always going to be good. I'm a little disappointed it wasn't written by a lady, but I mean, Mark Waid's really good. So.
Well, but the good thing is, I mean, he could have put in, you know, some kind of weird space alien 7-foot-tall green rabbit, right, to be her sidekick in this adventure.
He
but
could have.
He created a totally new character that I think is going to be a big fan favorite going forward.
Yeah, I would really love to see her cross over into one of the TV shows. But I don't know how possible that is. Just like I'd love to see Ahsoka from the Clone Wars come over into the comics. I think she's really great.
Yeah, and I don't know. See, that was the thing with the way that the Clone Wars ended is nobody knew what happened to her.
I know.
And then spoiler, we kind of find out in Star Wars Rebels, much older Ahsoka appears. So we know she's not dead at the end of that.
Yeah.
So it
I'm
would be
like
nice to see more
Star Wars Rebels, but I read that.
Oh, okay. Well, didn't want to spoil it for you, but there you go. It's kind of hard. Where do you draw the line on spoilers and blocking yourself from being spoiled?
Well, I live in L.A., so I just
impossible.
Assume that everything's going to be spoiled for me.
Yeah.
And I don't really get mad about it. I only get kind of upset when people are tweeting about it seconds after it's happened. But I feel like if, when you know, we live in such an instant age that if it's been more than a week, I'm not going to worry too much. But I might preface something with saying spoilers. But if it's not something that someone is super invested in, like I'm not watching Star Wars Rebels week to week. So
it doesn't
hurt me to be spoiled on it. But if someone watched Arrow an hour before me and texted me and was like, oh, so-and-so died. Like
that is
annoyed.
That is kind of the problem with East Coast, West Coast feeds, right? I mean, on the East Coast, they get that several hours before the West Coast feed begins. So there's all these people talking about stuff. And then as the 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock hour draws near here, I start seeing the West Coast people start saying, ah, it's time for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or it's time for Arrow. We're going to sit down and watch this. And it's like, man, that's been over for a couple hours now.
Well, and Doctor Who is a really funny one because BBC One spoiled the identity of Missy at like 11 o'clock in the morning in California.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was
that's
like,
kinda
way to go, official BBC Twitter. You're really on top of your game.
Yeah, that's I think that's going to be really interesting to see what happens when DC moves to the West Coast, because we get all of our news stuff.
Here.
Yeah, I mean, we get all of our news stuff and press releases come out around 10 o'clock in the morning. Between 8 and 10 o'clock in the morning is when most of the press release stuff comes out from the publishers. Sometimes it comes out a little bit later in the afternoon. But when you move out to the West Coast, it'll be interesting if all those, I'm sure the PR people are moving as well, to see if they start releasing stuff at, 6 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, or if they're going to wait until 10 o'clock local time, which would be 2 o'clock in the afternoon here. I know that was when I first started writing on the web for Digital Media Net back in 99, 2000. That was one thing that was really weird, because by the time we got to work in the morning, I was showing up at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning to get stories up on the site. And the weird thing was it was already, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock on the East Coast. And so it was really kind of weird to get into that mindset that, people over there lunch hour or in the afternoon were getting to our site first time and it was still early morning for us. So it's a weird kind of thing to kind of deal with that time shift difference.
I think they'll keep the East Coast in mind because they were based there for so long. And like New York City alone is a huge market for anyone.
Right. Right. Speaking of time change, we've got is it this week? This weekend is Jump Spring Forward.
Oh, my God. Is it really? I don't even know.
I believe so. Daylight Savings Time 2015, I believe, is this weekend. Sunday, March 8th.
No.
So you're going to lose an hour of sleep, Ashley.
No. I don't sleep much, so.
Well, yeah, we called you and you were taking a nap just before the show began, so I know how that is.
I was. That's probably because I slept for 6 hours last night.
I try to get one nap in the afternoon if I can, just because I work so late at night that if I can get a nap in between either 3 and 4 o'clock or sometime after the kids have taken their bath, if I can get a nap in between 6:30 and 7:30 at night, then I'm good until 2 or 3 in the morning. So
yeah,
naps are kind of good, especially as you get older, naps are good. It's like when you're a baby, naps are great. And when you're an old person, naps are great.
That's one of my fear about having a tiny child at any point in my life is like the period of not being able to sleep because they don't sleep ever for more than an hour.
Yeah. When Mason was born, that was a real problem because we kept him in the room with us.
Yeah.
But then the kind of, I don't want to say it was an agreement, but it was just kind of understood that when we had the second child that I would help out as much as I could, but I wasn't going to be the one getting up in the middle of the night to do all of the work. But sometimes, you know, they'll wake up now and I'll go run down the hallway and say, "Hey, what's the matter? Go back to sleep."
In that tone. I hope it's
in that sound. "Hey, little kid, go back to sleep." Now, usually it's just goes in, rub him on the back. "You okay, buddy? Yeah. You have a bad dream? Huh? Go back to sleep." "Okay." And he pulls the covers. This is the 3-year-old. Pulls the covers over his head and goes back to sleep for an hour.
Wow, good talk.
Yeah, I guess. And then, or sometimes it's like he'll like go back to sleep and 5 minutes later, "Mom, Mom."
Oh, really?
Yeah, never dad. I'm okay with that.
So, be off the hook.
Yeah. Spring forward, everybody. That happens this weekend. And that means adjust your clocks because next year or next week, when we hit finally Friday, we'll still be here at 3:30. I don't know how that works. Magic, I suppose.
Science.
Yeah. Thank you, Ashley, for joining us again this week. You are welcome back anytime you want. And be sure to check out Ashley's work over at majorspoilers.com. Check out her comic book work that she's done. And be sure to check out the Red Shirt Diaries if you haven't. And until next time, everybody, take care, be nice to one another, and we will see you when it is, once again, finally Friday.